Imagine the document you have before you is not a book, but a map. It is well used, creased, and folded so that when you open it, no matter how carefully, something tears and a line that is neither latitude nor longitude opens in the hidden geography of the place you are about to enter. You flatten it gently in the wind, find stones to weight the corners, but it's bigger than you thought. There is another fold and another. The wind makes it impossible to open it fully. The seams are tearing, and it is apparent that if you try to look at it all at once, you risk the whole thing coming apart. The map has been annotated by more than one hand. There are marks, almost rubbed away, which have been traced over so that information will not be lost. Along the frayed creases where the map has been folded, it's no longer possible to read what's inscribed there. So you fold it into manageable sections and search for familiar locations. It's a while since you were here, and things are not where you left them. Or maybe it's your point of view that's changed. Skeleton Valley, Running Dog Creek, Smoke Hills. The names have found their way to you along a whispered thread of folklore. And there are others whose rhythms suggest a song, Jalawango, Kaliaka, Manjurungo. On this map, many locations are described as positioned doubtful. If you could fold the map out fully, if it was not so fragile and the morning was still instead of windy, you could chart your course from one position doubtful to the next, beginning from the place where you were standing. How many of us still feel the grip of place, the long span of a life traced out in the growth of trees planted by someone you knew, a family history measured in memory and change, the sudden clutch of knowing that it will end, life and memory both, that love and sorrow cannot be separated. To learn the names of trees and grasses, the times of their seeding and flowering, the glimpse they offer into the grand, slow cycles of nature, is to see your own life written there and passing. To know the geography of a place is to know why we have always made stories in which our own human stuff is indivisible from the stones and creeks and hills and growing things. This is a kind of love story. It is an unrequited love story because it is between a person and a place, and place doesn't love you back. But perhaps that isn't entirely true. Perhaps it's like loving God and what you get back is a reflection of what you put in. Apart from the deep and unequivocal love I have for my family and close friends, there's been no other love in my life as sustained as the one I've felt for a remote pocket of inland Australia. The love I feel for the place has something in it of the passion and hunger of an affair of the heart, a physical sensation in the body, a disturbance of the organs, a disorder of the mind. When I'm there, I'm alive with an intensity I feel nowhere else. But to live there permanently would require a sacrifice that I'm not prepared to make. And so I return year after year, stepping back into the self the country's held in trust while I've been away. Each time I wonder how I could have forgotten what it feels like to be there, how I could have left it behind. For more than 20 years now, I've been returning to a tract of country that extends across the Tanami Desert to the edge of the East Kimberley. What began as a pilgrimage to revisit the country where I had spent my late childhood and teenage years morphed into annual journeys that have included artist field trips with my friend Pam Lofts, visits to the cattle station that had been my family home, volunteer work in the art centre at Balgo Aboriginal Community, an artist residency at the Tanami Mine, and map-making expeditions and environmental projects with the Wamadjuri custodians of Lake Gregory. Over this period, I've become gradually enmeshed with the traditional owners of the region. The place that had occupied an almost mythical status in my childhood was made both ordinary and infinitely complex as it became a necessary part of my life. This remote, mysterious country has become the centre of my enterprise as an artist and writer. Why this has happened continues to tease my mind. Every year, as I make preparations to leave behind my orderly life on the outskirts of Canberra and follow my well-worn track across the country, I wonder what I'm doing, whether any of it amounts to anything, and how I can hope to sustain it, both financially and physically. And every year, at a certain point, I stop asking the questions and start packing the ute. What drives me is not a desire to help, to fix or change, but to understand something about my country. The desert took up residence in my psyche when I was very young, in an impersonal, obdurate sort of way that made it impossible for me to form lasting attachments to any other place. A unique set of circumstances has given me privileged access to one of the least known parts of Australia, and I've set out to learn it in as many of its manifestations and strata as I can discover. It has become the primary relationship in my life, an affair that rollercoasters from heartbreak to euphoria, although in recent years it has become less volatile, settling into the steadiness of commitment and familiarity.